The sun over Tashkent is a physical presence, not just a light source. Presses down on you. By 8 in the morning, the air is already shimmering above the asphalt, and the cicadas are in full, frantic chorus. I'm on my second full day here, and I'm learning that this city doesn't fight the heat. It schedules around it. The morning is for errands. The afternoon is for a siesta in the shade with a pot of green tea. And the evening is when the city truly exhales and comes back to life. My first mission today was to get a metro card, the Tashkent card. It's the key to unlocking the city's most beautiful and practical secret. The metro here isn't just a way to get around. It's an underground palace, a museum you can ride. I walked to the station near my base, a modest one-room flat I'm renting for the month. It costs me about 4 million soms. Which is a significant chunk of change, but feels right for a place where I can finally spread out my paperwork. The rent is still commonly quoted in dollars, I'm finding, even if you pay in soms. It's an interesting quirk of the local economy. Anyway, the station. I descended the escalator, and the temperature dropped about 10 degrees. It's a blessed relief. The Tashkent Metro is Central Asia's oldest. They opened it back in 1977, and each station is themed like a Soviet underground palace. I loaded my card with about 12,000 soms, which gets you around 10 rides. A single ride is astonishingly cheap, less than 2,000 soms. It's probably the best value for money in the entire city. I started with the new Circle Line, the Halka Line, which runs above ground and gives you a sweeping view of the city's edges. From there, I transferred to the old line to see Kozmonavtor Station, dedicated to the space program. It's covered in these incredible murals of cosmonauts against deep blue ceramic tiles, all very Soviet futurism. I'm told photography is allowed now, which wasn't the case for decades. I stood there for a while, just watching the trains slide in and out, the clatter of the carriages echoing off the marble. It's a strange, beautiful mix of grand ambition and daily commuter life. A single woman with a string bag full of apricots smiled at me as I fumbled with my map. She pointed to the sign for the next station and said something in Russian I didn't quite catch. But the gesture was universal. I'm getting my bearings. I emerged from the metro near the heart of the old city in Eskişehir. The contrast is jarring in the best way. You come out of the cool, controlled Soviet underground and you're hit by the color and chaos of the Mahalla, the traditional neighborhood. The air here smells of warm bread from the tandoor ovens, dust, and the sweet perfume of ripe fruit. This is where Korsu Bazaar sits, its giant blue dome looking like some alien spaceship that landed in the middle of a medieval town. It's billed as the largest market in Central Asia, and I'm inclined to believe it. The dome of Korsu is an anchor. From the outside, it's this beautiful ribbed turquoise structure. Inside, it's a hive of activity with spices and pyramids, dried fruits in a kaleidoscope of colors, and nuts overflowing from Hessian sacks. The light filters down from the oculus in the center, catching the dust motes in the air. It's loud with the sound of bargaining, the thud of a cleaver on a wooden block, and the constant hum of conversation. I'm not really here to buy much, more just to soak in the atmosphere, to get a feel for the rhythm of commerce. It's one thing to read about it, but seeing the sheer volume of goods is something else entirely. I decided to get some lunch from one of the stalls. I had a quick, delicious bowl of plov, the national dish, with tender pieces of beef and sweet carrots, for about 30,000 soms. It was simple, hearty, and the perfect fuel for a day of wandering. I also grabbed a fresh, hot naan, the round bread stamped with a traditional pattern, for a few thousand soms. With my appetite sated, I left the main bazaar and wandered into the surrounding streets. These are the old mud-walled mahallas, where life spills out of the houses and into the shaded streets. Kids were playing football, men were drinking tea on wooden platforms under grapevines, and women were sorting piles of just-picked vegetables. I followed the sound of water and found the Kükeldaş Madrasa, a big, imposing 16th century Islamic school built from yellow brick. It sits on a hill overlooking the old city, a true relic from the era when this was a key stop on the Silk Road. You can see the tiled mosaics on the entranceway, a faded but still radiant blue. Today it's quiet, with a few tourists and a couple of men sitting in the shade of the archway. The courtyard inside is vast and peaceful, a world away from the haggling at the bazaar just a few minutes walk away. It felt like a good place to just sit and think for a while about where I am and the year ahead. But the heat was starting to get to me. It's that time of day when the sun is at its peak, and even the locals have retreated inside. So I did what the city does. I found a choi kona, a traditional tea house, in the shade of a massive mulberry tree. I ordered a pot of green tea and just let the afternoon drift by. This is the Tashkent rhythm. The siesta isn't just a nap. It's a social and cultural institution. It's a time to slow down, to talk, to share a pot of tea, and to let the day's heat pass you by. A large pot of tea at a place like this costs about 10,000 soms, and they'll happily top it up with hot water as long as you sit there. It's the best money you'll spend. After my tea, feeling restored, I decided to check out the new modern side of the city. I hopped in a taxi using the Yandex Go app, which everyone uses here. It's a far cry from flagging down a cab on the street, which I've heard can be a bit of a scam. The ride through the city to the new business district was interesting. We passed the monumental Soviet Corps around Amir Timur Square, with its statue of the Great Conqueror, then drove through blocks of wide, tree-lined boulevards, before hitting the Tashkent city area. It's this new cluster of glass skyscrapers and malls, a shiny testament to the country's recent opening up and its investment boom since 2017. It feels like a different country from the Korsu Bazaar, but that's Tashkent for you. I met a friend for a coffee at a place called Socials Minor, which I'm told is a popular spot. It was packed, full of young people on laptops and friends catching up. I had a really good cappuccino, which set me back about 25,000 soms, more than my entire lunch. It's a reminder that the cost of living here can be as cheap or as expensive as you make it. You can eat at a local spot for a few dollars, or you can pay Western prices for specialty coffee in a trendy neighborhood. It's a city of extremes. As the sun finally started to sink lower, painting the sky in oranges and pinks, the city did indeed wake up again. The streets filled with people, families strolling in the parks, the air cooling down to a pleasant temperature. My taxi back to my flat in the Sheikhantahr district, which is one of the more expensive areas to rent in, cost about 15,000 soms. I found the price of a short ride across town is rarely more than the cost of a meal. For dinner, I went low-key, back to a small spot near the bazaar I'd noticed earlier. I had some more bread, a fresh tomato salad, and a shashlik skewer, all for around 40,000 soms. I'm glad I decided to spend time in Tashkent before heading south. Everyone was asking if I was going straight to Samarkand, and I had to explain that I'm leaving it for later. I want to see it in the autumn, when the weather is more forgiving. For now, I'm here, learning the rhythms of this capital. It's a city of layers. The ancient Silk Road heart, the Soviet behemoth, and the modern, ambitious state. And right now, in this August heat, it's a city that moves at its own deliberate pace. The pace is dictated by the heat and the tea. My advice for anyone coming here, don't fight the heat. Flow with it. Get your business done before noon. Find a spot in the shade. Drink the tea. And let the city come to you as the evening arrives. It's the only way to do it, and honestly, it's the best way. Tomorrow, I'm planning an escape from the city heat. I'm going to head to the mountains, to the Chimgan Resort area and the Charvak Reservoir. It's only an hour or two away, and I'm told the change in temperature is drastic. It'll be a good test of how the city folks get out of town for the weekend. For tonight, though, I'm content. The fan in my room is whirring. The sounds of the street are floating in through the open window, and I feel a little more settled than I did this morning. A little more at home.